Time to do radio, Sammy. Is that what you call it? Is that term still accepted in 2024? Let's
radio?
Do radio.
Let's do that, do that radio.
Let's do that radio.
At our core, that's what we are, boys.
It is the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Yeah, that radio thing as well. Wherever you're catching us, on the radio, on the television, on your pod, we are glad you are aboard. Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6, as always. Download us whenever you can't get us live, and remember to text us at 590-590. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jen Rolnick. For the next 2 hours, including this first hour on our Leaf edition of our show. The Leafies keep winning, boys.
It's easy. Looked easy.
No Morgan Riley. 5-0.
Yeah. We had to answer the question on the television last night. Do you make anything of it, Sam McKee?
I do make... It sucks for them because they played against some... You know, I don't think the Blues and Flyers are in the same class as the Coyotes and Ducks in terms of crappy teams.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Blues and the Flyers are great either. And you have Morgan Riley coming back tonight, starting a stretch of hockey that is Vegas Golden Knights, Colorado Avalanche, Vegas Golden Knights. And it's like very possible they go 1-2 or 0-3. They could go, hey, maybe they've really come together. But like, it's not going to help that said conversation you pitched towards me.
Yeah, we were saying before the show, Kip, like if you look at the schedule before the season and you're in a good team, you know, like the Leafs are, whatever, 10th in the league. There are points in your schedule where they're scheduled streaks. You're scheduled to lose a few in a row, to win a few in a row. They played some pretty soft teams in Riley's absence, so they took advantage of it. 5-0, climbing up the standings. And off we go.
5-0 with some stability on the blue line. It wasn't that anybody stood out like beyond, like, holy moly, where did he come from? He carried us for 5 games. We saw steady play out of Benoit, who's been doing it all season long. McCabe looks fine. Brody looks comfortable on the left side since he went over there. Liljegren played well, okay? But granted, he has not had a great season.
Brody and Liljegren were 7 goals, 4 none against in Riley's absence.
Couple of good games. The hope is that he can continue it, but again, a rather small sample size, but collectively, they got the job done.
Yeah, and yeah, I feel the same way. Like, they got the job done. I didn't think anyone lit the world on fire. I did think Benoit took a step back last couple of games for me. A couple of turnovers in the neutral zone where just, you know, instead of making a play, you know, and I know he's the guy who doesn't have to make plays, but just kind of jamming it up the wall and a couple of turnovers. But Lajoie and Rafai stepped in and weren't bad. They didn't do anything that made you go, oh, you can't use those guys. So kudos to them.
So can I just ask you simply tonight, who's Morgan Riley's partner tonight?
I think Jake McCabe.
And McCabe had been with last night Benoit. And I'm not sure I'm in such a hurry to break them up. Are you?
I'm not in a hurry to break him up, but Brody has looked so much better, and he had been bad. And I think keeping him on the left side is important, and Liljegren finally took a step. So
okay, so you leave them alone?
Yeah.
And then you slide Benoit down to the third pair?
Well, we got Lajoie.
And now you're back with Morgan and Jake?
Yeah, Morgan and Jake.
I think that sounds correct to me, and I think this is a good test to see how far Sheldon's come in these 5 games, because we've been hard on him for going back to old habits dying hard. If old Sheldon, prior to these 5 games, TJ Brody's going right back there.
Yes.
Right? Like, it's immediately TJ Brody going right back on the top pair with Morgan Riley. He's going to go to that. But maybe he's shown a little bit of, he's going to, now that he's gotten contributions from McMahon and all these people from below the lineup, he's going to be like, hey, I can use guys in different spots. Maybe we'll see. I don't know.
You know, what will be interesting is to see if he uses these lessons, like you're talking about, not just on the back end, but also up front. John Tavares played third line center with Bobby McMahon and Nick Robertson last night, and I thought the best line for the Leafs last night was Bertuzzi, Domi, and Nylander. They were all over the puck, created chances. They were feisty after whistles. Nylander went back at a guy. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
He did it. He gave him a little.
It was good.
I know.
Durzi. Public enemy number one, Durzi.
But think about Domi and Bertuzzi on the same line is a little bit of something the Leafs haven't had. Both pests in a scrum. It was kind of delightful.
Derek Englund, former captain of Vegas Golden Knights, will join us in about half an hour, and we'll get a feel for defending cup champions without their captain, Mark Stone, who is now out week to week, according to the organization.
Yeah.
Eichel's not ready to come back in, so they look like they're a little less powerful up front with those two guys out of the lineup. So outside of that, they're still facing a rather big, strong defense tonight in Vegas. So that'll be a good challenge. But let's stick to last night a little bit, JB.
One quick note. Vegas is number one at defending the slot for first in the NHL. So you're right about the defense being tough to penetrate.
And apparently Mark Stone is week to week with an upper body injury, and the injury is not related to his back issues from last year, according to the head coach, Bruce Cassidy.
I wonder if he'll be ready to go like April 19th.
So we'll get into
Don't you accuse my Golden Knights of that.
We'll get into the eye-rolling situation with Mark Stone a little later on the show. So let's jump right into Sheldon Keefe on our Kippers Clippers of his overall thoughts of last night's win.
Get going well early in the game, take control, you know, whether it's a huge goal from McMahon to get us going, and then our power play taking advantage of their opportunities. You know, and then gets a little hairy there in the second period, right? I think they get two. But I did like how we managed it. Don't like, obviously, they get the third goal there at the end of the second period. But I thought, by and large, we managed it well. From the point of the time they scored the second goal, I thought we did a pretty good job of it. It was a really good third period, really clean third period. Obviously, Willie scoring coming out of the box helped a great deal. But I thought the guys managed the third period very well.
You had on TV last night highlighted, you know, Sheldon was a little panicky and yappy at one point in the intermission. Yeah.
That's on you.
Yeah.
That's effing on you.
But since after the timeout, they did settle down.
On a side note, if I'm Tree Living or Brendan Shanahan, I got to keep reminding him, you're doing yourself and our hockey club no favors. Yeah. You're not going to win those type of arguments with them. You're just going to create animosity towards the officials, especially for me in a game like that where you know you're the better team.
Completely.
You're up 3-0. Okay. What is the big deal? Like, you need
you
need calls that badly against that team on this particular night that I don't have so much confidence in my team that you could screw me over a call here and there, and it doesn't matter because my team's that much better than yours, and we will just overcome it.
Yeah.
That's my attitude towards – that's the attitude I want Sheldon to have.
Yeah. You know, not to pat myself on the back, Kip, but after the first period, you know, I said to you that, like, they were going to score more, the Leafs, but Arizona was going to get three. You know, one of those games where the Leafs, once they get up and it looks like it's going to be easy and comfortable, you know they're going to take their foot off the gas. They came out for that second period being like, all right, run time. We're just going to run the clock. Yeah. Then Arizona shot a couple in the net, and they're like,
Sheldon?
We're going to have to play again.
Because you've known Sheldon forever, and you're with him in the minors, and you've seen a lot of his. Has he always been this hard on the officials?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It really feels like it's over the past month, I don't know, just it's Nick Nurse-esque.
It flashes
to him, and it's just he's always all over him.
They're always at the bottom of the penalty call table, right? Yeah. They don't get the calls, and to your point, you're not going to win the argument. You're also not going to win their affection.
I don't know where he would rank in terms of the whole league because we don't watch other coaches' reactions as closely as we watch them. Sheldon's.
Paul Maurice.
But he's
just giving a.
He's top.
That, eh?
He's top three for sure in my eyes on officials who just have no time for Sheldon.
He can be like sarcastic and dismissive, and you know it's all stuff that like we all talk like that. But you got to manage the referees a little bit better than he has.
All right, we've gone 10 minutes, not even mentioning Austin Matthews.
What'd he do?
Became the second player in team history to score 50 goals in a season.
Multiple times.
No slowing down, apparently. Especially with number 16. There just seems to be a connection now that might be head and shoulders above anything that's out there right now. Draisaitl and
like
McDavid,
yeah.
Rantanen and McKinnon, but
they're right there with those guys.
Oh, absolutely. No, they're well, currently
better.
They're at the top.
They're the one for sure. Most multi-goal games in a season in Leafs history. Austin Matthews is number one with 15 this year. He did it 2 years ago as well with 15, and Vive did it about 20 years ago. Exactly 20 years. So, no, 40 years ago. 40 years ago. My bad. Good at math.
I did today.
Good math.
I did today write my Toronto Star article. You can catch it on my my X account or my former Twitter account at Real Kipper. And just basically drawing a comparison, and the comparison that stuck out to me last night was going into the game that they played the same amount of games as Toronto
careers.
Maple Leafs,
yeah.
534. And I thought that was kind of unique. But then there was some other, you know, comparisons, and that is that putting the puck at a greater rate than any other players in history for goal scoring. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Austin in many ways is still challenging to take that success and turn it into playoff success, and unfortunately for Rick Vive, he didn't have that in his era. But
were those Vive teams? So I don't know how many times he went to the playoffs with.
I think
with
a couple.
Teams.
Yeah,
a couple. Were they good teams?
I think the years two years. I think for sure that I can remember that he had over 50 goals, that they were under 500 during the regular season.
Under 500, yeah.
Probably the answer is not really.
Yeah. It's funny, right? Because you look back at the early going with Matthews when it wasn't really, I shouldn't say it wasn't really his team. He was a huge part of it too. But when you felt like Kadri and JVR and Bozak and those guys, you know, in the early going, you're the underdogs against the Bruins. You lose those years and it's like, okay, learning lessons. And really, you know, the lack of success comes down to the few years where you puke it away to Columbus, you puke it away to Montreal.
Yeah.
Like those years, maybe now he's a different player, and 100%. Maybe Marner's a different player, and they were awesome, you know, last year in the first round and get a playoff win and all that. But yeah, you can't go back and fix those. So now it's a matter of you're going to have success in tougher circumstances than those years were.
Like you can, if you win those two series against Columbus and then whatever happens after that, and the Habs series, whatever happens after that, you can look back on the first three and be like, okay, those are their times that they won, right? And it's like they maybe go on runs.
Right.
Like especially, I mean, didn't want to do this today, but the COVID one against the Habs is the all-time what if.
Tavares is Chernak, right?
Right,
you know, last year where it's like you're missing a key guy right from the start, and it's probably the difference in a series.
They had a 3-1 lead in that series without him.
Yes.
So, you know, they get past him, and they have that Jets team who they own the whole year, and then beyond that, like, that's the greatest what if to me. But you're right, and it's hard for me as a fan to not measure, especially at this point of Matthew's career, to not measure the lack of playoff success versus what I'm watching in the regular season. And we're going to have Mike Kelly on to talk about the MVP stuff later. And I think of that as playing into it a lot with Leaf fans and their trepidation to say MVP and MVP, because it's like there hasn't been that big playoff run moment sort of thing that you're weighing it against. Mm-hmm. It's a tough one. Like, I enjoy watching it every night. I really love it.
Yeah.
But it's little birdie is always in the back of my mind.
But if he does not find himself in a conference final or a Stanley Cup final in the next few years... Mm-hmm. And we are having this conversation 15 or 20 years from now.
It's Charles Barkley. It becomes part of your legacy.
It is.
For sure.
It's almost worse. It's the MVPs and the records for 60 or 70 goals are almost worse when you try to put it into a where does he truly rank amongst Maple Leaf players? Like, can you still win multiple MVPs and have 70 goal seasons and still be considered one of the greatest Leafs of all time if you've never seen the light of day past a quarterfinal?
Easy answer is if you pulled your weight or not. Yeah. You know, like if he goes into these playoff series and, you know, he gets a goal in seven games and they lose in seven games, then no, you can't hold your head up, you know. But if he scores six times and they lose in game seven, it's different, right?
Sure.
You know, like it's a totally different how did you play and versus the rest of your team. So, yeah, it's big. Definitely legacy stuff. I think he's at a point in his career where we've gone from, will he be the guy in the NHL that he was on the way up where it's like number one overall pick, superstar, can he make it? You know, DA's on the panel talking about, you know Gretzky's goal record with Matthews now.
Oh, boy.
I know.
DA, just
I know.
Can't wait. All these old news now, eh?
Yeah. But the point is, like, we've reached the point where, okay, he's going to be in the NHL Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He is one of the, going to be one of the all-time games great. And now we're changing it to where can he get legacy-wise?
Like there are... I believe there's a strong base of the fans that are going, well, if you can score now, you can score in April and May. We expect this when it counts against Florida.
Of course. And, but why wouldn't you?
And nothing less, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, as well as anyone, it is a different environment, but you are expected to deal with a different environment.
Oh,
that's your role.
It's harder.
Yeah.
But you mentioned the echelon that people talk about Matthews in. And, you know, you think of him in the similar to McDavid, not better, but like in that echelon of player. You think of McKinnon. You think of all these guys. You think of Kucherov. You know, these guys eventually get one, right? Like you think about like the greats. And if you're talking about him as an all-time great, it usually eventually happens.
But you know what?
But the difference is, he wears that sweater. And it's like,
no, that's not the difference.
I honestly think that's part of it, where it's like people are not willing to say that because of that and the early playoff failures in his career. But like, if you're a Leaf fan that's holding out hope, the all-time greats usually end up getting one.
I say that all the time, and I do believe it, but it has changed because there's 32 teams.
There's too many teams. Right.
You know, when there was 20 teams and you were the best player in the NHL or one of the five best players, you were going to be on a team that was going to have a chance every year. You know, it's not guaranteed. It's just not when there's this many teams. There's going to be more guys, and I said this on the show before. Last year's Hall of Fame induction is Sedin, Alfredson, Luongo. Mm. No cups between all of them. Like, it's going to be more common for these guys. That said, those guys still had a Stanley Cup run, a deep run. You know, Joe Thornton included. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I liked a lot last night was watching Austin Matthews have all but, what, 3.5, 4 minutes in the third period. I don't think he had a shift in the last six minutes. Here's a guy that everybody's getting excited about. Can he hit 70? Can he hit 75? Could have easily been a situation where Sheldon put him out there to finish a hat trick.
Chase it,
didn't do it.
Yeah.
And that, to me, tells me Sheldon and the team have a feel that the next 27 games here isn't about just 34 here. I've got to get others involved here, and I hope that continues here.
Two things I want to mention. One of them, let's talk about Marner next, because you know, he certainly deserves that air as well. But Sammy, you know, you had some stuff today before the show, so you weren't there. Sammy and I had a brief conversation about Tavares.
Oh, you guys talked before the show without me?
We did.
Did I give you permission for that?
Well, here's the thing.
That we ever talked before the show was...
We talked about everything but hockey before the show.
But we did mention how it feels like Sheldon Keefe, whether it came from Shanahan and Tree Living or just Sheldon's decision, it feels like they've talked to John Tavares and been like, your role is going to be a little different. He is playing third line center a couple games in a row. He is not on the first power play unit as a given. Yeah. Bertuzzi's gotten some looks. You know, he scores last night, has some pep in his step. It feels like they would have had to have had a conversation with him.
Without a doubt.
There's no way you just do that. No. And he just, just sees the lineup one day and carry on.
They're trying to turn him into a checker.
A checker?
Yeah. Yeah, no question. That go out there and don't cheat for your offense. That's what was told.
Really?
Yep.
I like this.
Yeah.
I like this.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
We don't care.
He's going to finish. He's going to get chances.
points, 70 points, 80 points. We don't want you any longer to feel like you have to drive the offense like you did for 10 consecutive years in the island and the last five in Toronto.
We need a centerman that we can put on the ice in big moments and win draws and play good lines.
Stay on the right side of the puck.
Yeah.
Don't turn it over.
It's going to lead to offense for him.
Eventually, and if you do get a goal here or two, great. But don't feel like you have to be that guy still.
You know what's fascinating is, like, he just gets his shots from such a dangerous part of the ice. He'll still get them.
He can still shoot the puck.
If he does this, inner slot shots in the NHL, just the total inner slot shots, the top five right now is Zach Hyman, John Tavares, Eric Sinek, Austin Matthews, Anders Lee. And then there's guys like Point and Kachuk and both Kachucks. You know, like...
All the Kachucks.
All the Kachucks. So, like, he's in that group of guys who gets pucks there.
Yeah.
And he will, even if he decides to check. So, yeah, he's playing with Bobby McMahon and Nick Robertson. Fascinating combination for him.
Boy.
Mitch Marner.
The one thing I will say to you guys is that's that old Mike Tyson line where it sounds good until you get punched in the nose.
Yeah.
So where is Sheldon and where is JT? If you happen to be down 2-0, 3-1, 4-1, and you need offense now, do you resort back to Austin and Mitch every other shift? Do you push John back out there? Is John on the first unit on a power play? Yeah.
His factory settings are right? Offense. His default settings is that way.
All you need to do is power on, power back on. He's
back
gonna be
to
going
the old guy.
But 27 games is a lot here moving forward, and I got to think with John continuing to have this different look, they're probably shopping for another centerman.
Yeah, he scored his first goal, first 5-on-5 goal since December 23rd. Tomorrow's February 23rd, by the way.
Yeah. I thought it was December 11th. For maybe first even strength or 5-on-5.
Yeah, there is some difference whether it's even strength or whatever. It's been a couple of months.
The game where he got his 1,000th point.
It was his last 5-on-5 goal.
And I know it's early, but so far it doesn't look like John. The body language on John has been good so far, right?
Captainly even.
A couple times last night, I think he came on with the last 20 or 30 seconds of the power play, and he got shot out of a cannon. He looked like he had good jump. It looked like he knew that he didn't have a full 2 minutes anymore, and there was a sense of urgency. So, you know, so far, it's not like he's not taking it well.
Right.
I feel bad because I asked for the 2 units, but it's like, John Tavares might be better there than Bertuzzi.
No, I mean, he may be better there than Bertuzzi.
I think Tavares got a little better in offensive instincts.
Sure.
And I haven't loved Bertuzzi up there. I know they've been scoring, but it's mostly just on the back of Matthews firing it in the net. But it's like, when push comes to shove, 91's on the top unit in the playoffs, I think.
Absolutely. If it's game 7, you need one, he's the guy who's there.
Oh, but game 1, he's there.
Yeah, good point.
Last night we had a little bit of a segment on our panel. Leaf panel that said biggest surprises, and I had Bertuzzi. I mean, as a surprise of the lack of offense, and
it's a clever twist the question.
Yes, well, that's what I do, right? Everybody, and you've mentioned this at times, is like, just it's okay. He'll score in the playoffs, or he'll get hot at the right time. Do you really feel like that still has a chance here with him?
I do.
I believe.
Because
I don't.
Ooh, that hurt
too. Yeah, I don't. And I don't know what it is. And someone says, like, why? And the only thing I can come up with is, for whatever reason, he's just not a good fit for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's just not. His style of play or his... There's just something. He doesn't fit on this team.
Maybe he hasn't fit with line mates
yet. He's never gelled with anyone.
No.
So, there hasn't been chemistry.
But he does pass it well, which is baffling. He sets guys up. And he wins pucks.
Really?
Yes. I think he's a good passer.
And so they've just been really bad at finishing his plays, or else he'd have 55 points, 60 points
this
now.
This is where it's baffling, because the analytics, which, you know, Sometimes they get it wrong, but often it usually corrects itself. He still drives the play in the right direction.
Okay, so maybe from 60 to 84, it could correct itself.
Maybe. So I believe it could.
I don't know. I don't know if it's just he's too mucky and grindy for the Leafs. They're still too highly skilled, like in the offensive zone, but there's nothing meshing. Every time he's on the ice, it just seems to stall.
It just seems like he's using a wrong-handed stick. He just can't get any juice on his shots.
Put some tape on the top. Put some tape on the top.
What bothers me about the one strip of tape or whatever is that it's a material performance thing now.
Yeah.
It's where it's like, you know, in terms of cradling and catching pucks and putting spin on it, like, you
it
know,
helps.
It helps.
There's a reason
every other guy in the league does it. You know? Like, it's not a style thing.
It worked for the Bruins in the first round when he had 10 points, didn't it?
But the point he's trying to make, and this is what drives me nuts about Bertuzzi, is like, it doesn't matter, I could do it with a shovel. You know, just give me the tool and I'll whack it in the net. And it's like, there's a little bit more to it.
But
we're
giving you a shovel and you're not doing it.
Right. So maybe tape it now. Tape the shovel.
He couldn't score with a bazooka.
Yeah, it's just been frustrating. We need to give Marner some due before we get to guess.
Yes.
13 assists over the last 5 games. 5 multi-point games, which ties a Toronto Maple Leafs record for consecutive multi-assist games.
I think it's Boreas Salming he tied.
Pretty well-known player.
Not bad.
The assist he makes on the Nylander goal is creating a goal out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
The pass he makes to TJ Brody, some people might think showboaty hot dog. It's not. That's the best way to get the blade at that angle from the angle he's going. It's just an unbelievable play. The vision, the confidence to make it.
Just
elite vision.
His subtle passes do not get the credit they deserve.
No. Yeah. But, no, I mean, there's a reason he has a million assists every year, right? He makes a ton of great little plays that you don't notice. Even the separation to win that puck is something Marner does better than people think, like in terms of creating pucks for his team.
Outside of the points with him, when it's going like this, he just affects the game so much. Just his energy and his decisiveness and, like, his reads, he's great on the penalty kill. Like, everything he does for you when he's going well like this.
The engine
is amazing. And the problem, like, when he's not on, which, I mean, he had a tough start to the year. You don't notice him as much, and you kind of get down on him. But then you remember, you're like, oh, it's these stretches that you live for.
Yeah, but what kills me is, like, he is, you know, we're all over Matthews about team success in the playoffs. And when Marner is going, he brings the game to his level, right? Like, everything stops, and everyone has speed, and everyone watches him, and he just, like, and there's a pace of the game where it's almost like it changes, and it's, like, too frantic or something like that. And I think he's capable of bringing playoff hockey to his speed. I think he's capable of making people do this all year round. Because you can see it's there. You can see he's able to do it.
We got Mike Kelly in the second hour. Hockey analytic guy. He's going to talk to us a little bit about MVP. So we're obviously going to have Austin Matthews in that conversation. But last night we also talked about Austin, and we'll lump Mitch in here too. 24.7 of the goals are scored by Austin.
Isn't it higher than that?
No, I think it was 24%.
Okay.
And
no, it was higher than that.
I think it's 25 or 26%.
Oh, maybe. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. No, I don't know about 26.
It was 25.7.
25.7.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That sounds right.
Whatever it is, it's ridiculous.
It's a quarter of their goals.
And, like, the number's too high. It's just crazy.
Of course it
and
is.
And all it's just telling the whole league, and especially the Florida Panthers, if and when they play them, is shut down these two guys and it's over for the Leafs.
I know you can't put a bounty on a man's head, as Joe McGrath once said. Well, we're all going to end up in the clinker for this. You can't do it. But if you're playing the Leafs, you say game 1 and 2, we're going to chop them down like Christmas trees.
Yeah, you're all over them.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're screwed.
Yeah, and then people go, these guys can't perform in the playoffs. And they're pointing at the rest of the team. They go, if we had someone else, it would be really helpful.
What team can perform in the playoffs if their two best players are hurt?
It definitely takes away. Yes. Yeah, but I mean, that is the game plan for every playoff
team. I wanted to play this quick.
But other teams don't have to have 25%.
Correct. The last clip I wanted to play, because we didn't really play many clips, but the clip, Keith, clip 5, about how the group rallied during this thing, talks about Morgan Riley a lot. It's a great clip. It's one of the better Kippers Clippers that we've had all year, so I want to play it for you guys before we go to break.
Let's do it.
You know, I think the group has really rallied here, you know, since Morgan's left the lineup in particular. And it was obviously not Morgan leaving the lineup so much as that incident and how it all played out. Morgan, in essence, you know, defending the pride of the group and the pride of the logo and all those kind of things. And, I mean, this team means so much to Morgan Riley. And in that moment, he shows you how much he cares about our team and what we're doing. So we didn't love the fact that he was going to get held accountable to it. Not nothing to do with the suspension or anything like that, but just, you know, he means so much to our team, and he's the longest standing Leaf and all those kind of things you can see in that moment. So if anything, I thought it was a real wake up call for our team to get real serious about winning and taking care of games and rallying around the moment. And the guys, to me, have very much done that. And, you know, it's a good chance for us to continue to build upon here now and welcoming Morgan back.
What?
Oh, I'm just saying, that was my article last week.
It was, no, like right after you, the Monday after that happened, your take was like, he's got to be trying to fire these guys up. And it worked.
The Sens may have provided the Leafs with a moment.
It kind of,
when the championship DVD, yeah, we'll look back on him burying Ridly Gregg into the boards.
That's the cover.
It does bother me though when I hear people say there is no correlation. That's just stupid talk.
Oh, that's insane.
It's especially
no correlation between the wins.
No, Morgan doing that, and the rest of the year. You know, did he need to do that?
Yes.
Right.
God, if he goes
didn't
in there and
to
hugs
do
him,
that, didn't or not. It's just people don't want to associate that incident with rallying the troops or
don't want,
you know,
that to be a positive,
the pride,
a moment of violence,
or having
to be
pride into, like, you know, stepping up in that moment.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, it does. And I've said it for a long time. And then now Sheldon, who's living it now, right?
Yeah.
Living it. He's the one that is facing every day the guys, and he's saying it. How can people not understand the emotional aspect of what Morgan did?
Is part of it for Sheldon, though, trying to connect that story for the rest of the Leafs to convince them that that's what it was? You know what I mean?
That's the talk I hate right there.
But no, listen. Because part of it is, as in psychology, we are really good at creating stories. The Leafs win 5 games against crappy teams after a cross-check to the face. And we go, oh, it galvanized them. And now, you know, is it not Sheldon going, boys, this was it. This was our moment. And you're trying to foster that belief as the coach?
Yes. Maybe it is, because there's still some guys that he thinks he needs to get through.
Yeah.
And maybe his lineup has been raised in a different manner.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing that I do worry about this team is how emotionally invested they are at times over the course of even the regular season, or especially in the playoffs. So maybe you're right. Maybe it is just Sheldon every once in a while nudging them, going, hey, remember, like, this is the emotion that we need. And when we face Florida and they're rubbing your face into the glass, this is kind of helps, right? It kind of helps.
Yeah.
We should go.
Okay, we'll take a quick break here. And when we return, former captain of the Vegas Golden Knights, Derek Englund. What's he up to these days?
Everything Vegas, man. Doing stuff with their
Vegas
alumni.
All right.
Yeah.
Should we grill him on some kind of interesting decisions by the team? With Mark Stone going on long term,
their captain is not hurt.
I'm not going to suggest anything. I'm just going to ask him, what's up with Mark Stone, and will this open up the salary cap to go make another trade? Is that a fair question?
It's a fair one.
I think so.
All right, we'll ask Derek if it's a fair one after the break. More Real Kipper and Bourne after these words.
breaking down the top stories in hockey, and Elliot Friedman every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight in Vegas is the first of two meetings between the Golden Knights and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Next week, they'll complete the home-and-home. Next Tuesday, for now, we welcome in Derek Englund, former captain of the Vegas Golden Knights. Derek, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
Yeah, we're good. We're hanging in. Want to get your thoughts overall in terms of coming off of a Stanley Cup championship and where Vegas you think is in defending that. We know how difficult it is to win back-to-back, especially in a salary cap era. How has Vegas held up so far in your eyes?
The start of the season, I think, was surprising to everyone, come out as strong as they did. But, you got to get as many wins as you can. And they had a little lull in, late November, early December. They've kind of raised their ship until, lost three of the last four. But a lot of injuries adding up right now. It's been nice to have a little bit of a break in the schedule with All-Star week. And then only three games. And I think they had three games in 20 days or something before the last couple. So hopefully you get some guys back and some good news and keep moving forward for the push here.
One of the guys that it doesn't sound like they're going to have back is Mark Stone. Every fan base right now is mad at Vegas, thinking they're going to keep him out till playoffs and use that salary cap space. Where is the Stone injury, and what does that mean for the Knights as they head towards the deadline and make decisions?
Yeah, it's it's a blow to the team. He's such a good leader. 200-foot game, all situations, and his goal celebration just up everyone on the team. So it's a big loss to them. Obviously, I don't know what's going on with him, but you never want to lose a guy like that. And I'm sure once they see what's wrong and go into the trade deadline, that's going to play a big factor in what they're going to do.
So who steps up front? I think Marchessault might be a game time decision, if I'm not mistaken, but Stevenson's been a guy that I don't know if we ever looked at in his Washington Capitol days, thinking he was a frontline player. Mm-hmm. But, man, oh, man, every time I watch Vegas, he's one of the best players on the ice. Where's his game right now in terms of leading this club without a guy like Stone?
Yeah, when you have, Stone and Eichel both out, you're going to look towards those guys. Steve-O, he's had an up and down year, I think, probably not where he wants to be, but this is a perfect time for him to step up and take the reins and be that, that number one centerman that he can be. He's so gifted, such a good skater, so strong on the puck. So, you're going to look towards him, Marchie, like you said, Carlson. And then you got to hope some of the young guys that are getting that shot to show what they have, they got to step up and seize the opportunity that they're given. If they start on whatever line, but they gotta push those spots and hopefully can contribute. Losing those big name guys, it's not one guy stepping up. It's a collective whole group of forwards that have to step up and replace those guys. And getting Theodore back in his second game is going to be huge. I'm sure he's got the cobwebs off after last game a little bit. Yeah. He missed a lot of time. So him being back there adds a lot to the offense and the decor too.
So what do you think as they head towards the deadline? Like, are they where they want to be? Do you think, just going through their stats, it seems like maybe they could use a little bit more offense. Do you think that this is a team that's going to be looking to make some big additions here in the coming weeks?
They always seem to surprise you with what they pull off. So nothing's too far-fetched here. I'm sure they're going to do whatever they can to make another run and repeat. So, I haven't heard anything yet. They usually keep things pretty quiet, you know, you don't read about much with them, but they always pull something off that's big, that's a big help to the team.
I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a pretty hot scorer coming into Vegas tonight in the likes of Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. Now, if there's one blue line, Derek, I think that might be up for a challenge right now to shut these two guys down, it would be the one in Vegas. Besides the obvious, they're big and they're strong. What is it that makes this this blue line stand out amongst most?
Well, I think, you know, obviously you got a top guy like Pietrangelo, Theodore. You know, your third pairing, Whiteclaud and Hägg. You know, when guys are out, they play second pairing minutes, and they have no problem with that. So they're definitely deep. I don't think they're worried about who's out on the ice against what or who, and they're going to have their hands full with Toronto tonight. But, you know, obviously you want Petro or and Martinez out there against those top guys at key times. But, you know, with those big guys out up front, you're going to look towards the decor to chip in and shut down. So with them trying to shut down those guys, they're going to need also a big game out of Hill tonight.
Yeah, last one for me, just on the goaltending there. And Aiden Hill is, we talk about the Four Nations face-off, and everyone's like, who's going to play goal for Canada? This guy's name is kind of on like the periphery of that conversation. Tell us about what he, where you think his value is compared to like the public perception of him as a goalie.
Yeah, I think, I've met him briefly here and there, but I've heard nothing but good things, how good of a teammate he is on and off the ice. Just a low-key guy, down-to-earth guy. And, you know, he's stepped in a tough situation last year when Laurent Brisson went down and played out outstanding. You know, got rewarded with a nice contract, two-year contract, and he's come in at the beginning of the year. You know, you look at those first 10 games that they won, he was a big part of that. You know, he made a lot of big saves, kept them in games when they probably shouldn't have won. So he's, you know, stepped up this year. It was a big question mark if he could perform like he did in the playoffs. And I think he has and exceeded that all year. You know, if he can stays healthy, you know, he's going to be right in that talk for Team Canada for sure.
Derek, really appreciate your time. Enjoy the game tonight, and thanks for doing this, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Derek, thank you. Englund, appreciate it.
Former captain of Vegas Golden Knights.
You know what I was wondering? Mm. He has an active ceiling fan going behind him, but it's in a room that is outdoors.
Buddy, I was thinking the same thing.
What is the temperature in Vegas right now? That's what I asked.
If I would have noticed him sweating, I think I would have cut the interview right there. Derek, I don't need to see you sweating in 84 degree weather.
He's just got a
weather.
Nice tan. What is the weather?
What are you in just? Are we cutting in on your tea time?
It's currently 17 degrees Celsius. So, it's just about room temperature out there.
So
no clouds.
Having recently been to Vegas for a Vegas Golden Knights game, my Knights, as you know, tough one for you. My two favorite teams went up against each other.
Yeah.
I was there for the Penguins, which has a very passionate fan base. Tons of yinzers, as they say, the Pittsburgh sports fans.
Yep.
I would love to see what it's like for a Leafs night, because you're going to have all the people on trips going down there for the game. People, like, I would imagine it would be an electric, atmosphere there tonight.
So it's gonna be good. I don't know if you said this on air or you said it off air, but you're not seeing the Leaf win tonight, are you?
Yeah, I really don't feel like tonight is a great night for them.
I'm hoping this. I don't usually say this, but I'm really hoping for a measuring stick game for the Leafs tonight, because I think that if they can find a way to win and have a good look, and it will take a good look. I'm looking at this blue line going, who's penetrating through this blue line tonight?
Bud, you know I love you. But if they win tonight, you're going to come in here and go, they didn't have Stone. They didn't have Eichel.
No, I'm not. Not against this blue line.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, boys, I'm tripling down on they have to go for it right now.
The D.
And we had a little bit of this conversation.
Oh, did we?
That I don't know. You tell me. You gave me updates
on
how many people.
Would you trade a top prospect for...
If they find
Relax,
a way,
everyone.
If they find a way to have a very good showing tonight, yeah. It will suck in all the doubters to say, okay, maybe they're better and closer than we think.
Yeah,
tonight is a type of game mm-hmm. that can do that.
No,
Martinez, Pietrangelo, McNabb, Theodore, Hegg, Whitecloud, Stanley Cup winning decor, all six in tonight.
So you mentioned that conversation we had yesterday about Easton Cowan. Just looking at it now, update 280,000 views on X.
And all of them say no, don't trade him.
Yeah.
Pretty much. No. 90%.
Here's what I don't know. Do I know my Leafs Nation or do I know my Leafs Nation?
Exposed nerve. You
the
saw it.
The second you brought that up, I was like, oh boy. This
it's so
is not
funny
going
though.
Over
like
well.
Minton, no one would flinch when we mentioned him. Like,
no.
Nyes, I think people don't want to trade him, but.
Listen,
Cowan has already embedded himself in the psyche.
I don't know what it would take, but if it's one of those where I think I can get two or three pieces that can help me win now, then I'm telling you, they need to consider trading this kid.
Yes.
So you're on board with that, are you not?
If you think you can get better.
Maybe not for Lawson Crouse. Wouldn't say he was Mr. Active
No. This it was never.
He played?
Listen, it was never. This is the idiots on the internet.
Right.
It was never about Cowan and Crouse. It was Cowan and a first for, say, Crouse, Jack McBain, Josh Brown.
You're talking about a big
blockbuster.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And to me, it's about the idea of
trading around him.
Yeah. Of trading someone you really like to get better today and next year and the next year.
At the end of the day, you...
3-4 years.
You can't snap your fingers and get big. It just, just doesn't happen without paying a price here. Jack McBain.
You like McBain,
To go up against the Sam Bennetts of the world and, you know, the guys that can piss you off, the Tkachuks of the world. I need to get bigger.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that in the next year or two, it's coming through Florida right now.
Yeah.
So get bigger. Cowan can help you get bigger up front. He can help you get bigger on the back end. And let's see how they measure up against Vegas tonight. Yeah.
But, people like Easton Cowan. I think it comes down to, I don't know if I mentioned this yesterday here. I don't know where I mentioned it, but it's just the Leafs haven't had a top prospect in a while.
Yeah.
Outside the core four.
Right.
Right? Where it's like, it's.
That's what happens when you go for it.
That's what I mean. Okay? I am. Fully on board here.
You can't go for it in the last 2 years, maybe three, and then bail now.
Just middle it, become the Minnesota Wild, losing the first round, pick 15th, whatever, 22nd.
You made the bed.
It's going to be a tough.
We're just lying in it.
Tough pill for Leaf fans to swallow when Strathroy, Ontario native Easton Cowan is dominating
also...
for the Silver Tips in Utah.
It is tough for Tree Living in his first year here. To say, Tree, you got to do the big thing.
Yeah.
You know, like people want to come in and they want to put their toes in the water. And
he came in midstream here.
Like, all jokes aside, if Dubas is still the GM of the Leafs this past summer, Nylander or Marner are probably not here.
Oh!
Something big had to happen after last year. It had to. And it ended up being Dubas, so all the players stayed. Mm. And then GM comes in and kind of tries to be careful. Tree's got to do something big.
I'm with you.
Otherwise, we're going to come on here
big,
and go boo.
Big. All in.
All in, baby.
All in, guys. Push for big trade.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Our thanks to Derek Englund, who's teeing up the Vegas Golden Knights against the Toronto Maple Leafs. The first of two games in the next week. In the next hour, Mike Kelly, hockey analytic specialist with the Network and Sport Logic.
Yeah.
Okay. We're looking forward to it. Talking MVP next. Don't go away.